Welcome to the Experience Starden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Miranda Guerrero. Miranda is a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2021, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, as well as her role as Vice President for Diversity on the Darden Student Association. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Miranda Guerrero. Miranda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett. Excited to be here.
It's great to have you here. Before we really get into the substance of our conversation, how are you doing? How are things going?
Yeah, no, there's definitely been some ups and downs. This is not an easy time, I don't think, for anyone, but overall, I have my health. I have my family and friends being incredibly supportive, and I feel very lucky every day just to be here. So.
We just had some of your fellow second-year classmates on the podcast, a couple of leaders of the Graduate Women in Business Club. We asked them a bit about how their classes are going, because maybe our podcast listeners know some of the classes are virtual. We also have a new class format called a hybrid class, where some students are in person, other students are virtual, participating in the same class session. How are your classes going?
Yeah, my classes are actually a highlight of my experience. I'm doing all of them virtual. I only have one class that's hybrid, but even in that class, I feel very part of the conversation, very, very easy to engage. And beyond the opportunities to engage in class, there's also a lot of asynchronous engagement opportunities. So I was actually just reading my Economics of Water discussion board, where we're talking about the different ways that water impacts our global markets and how it could be used as a commodity, which is something I didn't think I would do in business school, but I'm glad to have the opportunity.
I'm guessing that class is with Peter DeBeer.
He's awesome. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Global economics faculty member. If you're listening to this podcast and you do not know about Peter DeBeer, this would be a good time to go pause and look up Peter DeBeer. And he's spoken about water. He's as Miranda mentions here, very passionate about this topic, about water access and, you know, what it means for the broader sort of health of the world. And I mean, not maybe an issue that we think about all that much, but it is, when you think about it, it is life-sustaining. It's critical. Mm-hmm. So what attracted you to that? I mean, beyond just sort of these big questions, but you mentioned it was a little bit different than maybe what you thought you were going to be doing in business school.
Yeah. This summer, I worked at Dell Technologies. I had the benefit of having my internship, but it was shortened. So moving from 12 weeks to 9 weeks proposed a financial challenge for me. And thankfully, because this was not just happening to me, it was happening to many of our students, both who had just graduated and who were looking for internships. Darden came up with the case writing internships, and I want to say they're called the impact consulting internships. And I was able to be on a case writing project with Richard Evans, who's a part of the finance staff. And I helped write a case around environmental social governance, or ESG investing. And our specific focus was on climate change. So when thinking of just all the different ways that companies do measure their success, ESG is something that actually last week they just came out with guidance on metrics, and water was one of them that didn't think about before. It's critical. It's something we take for granted in developed countries. And I wanted to learn a little bit more and test to see if I knew anything from economics. That was a whole brand new concept to me coming to Darden. And I think this class really sealed both the everyday use of water as well as the global economics at play when we think about tensions or just moving water, watersheds, and just the importance of what we're doing. And I think even more so, seeing how water is being treated and tested in Charlottesville for COVID-19 and in many other countries, it's been really interesting to kind of play a part of that while learning more about economics.
Well, that's a very natural segue to talk a little bit more about you and your background. So what did you do before coming to Darden?
Yeah. So prior to Darden, I was a Fortive Business System leader at an operating company called PortisCap. I gr- graduated with an industrial engineering degree from Penn State, joined Danaher as a Fortive Business System Kaizen engineer. And when I made that transition to business system leader, I was really shocked that I was being pulled. It was a more strategic role. It was implementing operational improvements, working with union facilities, and using the talent pool that we had and just working at like a very technical level, and now bringing it into a strategic global perspective. So I was thankful to have a boss that graduated Darden, and I had very frank conversations about what this transition meant, especially with no formal business education. Business system leader is typically the third rotation or second rotation, a part of a six-year rotational program that Danaher and Fortive do. And I was put up to the challenge, got to be part of global teams, work with our HR function, research and development, accounts receivable, and just make improvements to the business. That being said, I definitely had some gaps and wanted to work on my strategic acumen and my financial acumen. So coming to Darden was, I think, the only way I could learn, because we did only do case studies. We only worked in real scenarios. And that drew me to just the classes that I have today and just the things that I'm learning here.
So one of the things that we try to do here on the podcast is maybe subvert some people's expectations around who's in a business school classroom and who can think about doing an MBA. What was your undergraduate background? Just curious.
Yeah, I went to Penn State. I wanted to study aerospace engineering, but I found that industrial engineering married the engineering principles that I really liked with the human aspect of how people work and how people are productive. I also stayed forever taking on as many minors as I could, specifically in Six Sigma, supply chain management, and information sciences.
So what I'm hearing both from your Fortive experience and also from your undergraduate background is maybe you didn't have as much formal business training or even educationally, had maybe not been exposed to many of the subjects you would be taking while at Darden.
Yeah, I think all of our first quarter, I had no formal experience with anything we were talking about, nothing around marketing, nothing around finance. I knew a little bit of accounting because of my role that I had just come from, but I would often have to Google what is an accounts receivable and how does that play into the balance sheet. But yeah, very limited business education, didn't talk about economics, and this was a very, very fresh start for that.
So how did Darden get on your radar? You had mentioned sort of, all right, realizing that you wanted to get an MBA, having some conversations with people at work about it. What about Darden resonated with you?
Yeah, I didn't know anyone in my personal life who had an MBA. I only knew MBAs from where I worked. And because of that, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of different alumni in different stages of their career. And Darden got on my radar through those alumni I was working with, but it really sealed the deal when I talked to admissions and I came to Darden during the diversity conference in, 2 years ago, 2018. So that's how it got on my radar. And I think something that continued to make it the premier choice was how active and effective the student experience was from the students who are currently working or currently coming to school, working on other things. And I enjoyed meeting people. It felt that every alumni, every student didn't necessarily want me to come to Darden just to come to Darden, but gave me the perspective, gave me advice that would suit me for the rest of my life. And it felt like the type of leaders that came from Darden were the leaders who continually looked to make people better in whatever circumstances that they were in.
Well, it's interesting to hear you mention the diversity conference. We're recording this on the Tuesday before this year's diversity conference. Will you be participating in the diversity conference?
I will. I'm a part of the group that is planning it. So it's been fun to think about how to reimagine the diversity conference, the experiences we have at Darden in our virtual format, and still making it very authentic to our experience. That I was just saying, so about making sure that everyone can benefit from our experiences here.
Well, we know that coming and visiting and spending time on grounds and seeing Charlottesville can have a lot of impact for students. When you talk with people on the podcast, they'll say it was my class visit, or it was a diversity conference, or just coming for the admitted students weekend had a lot of impact on my decision. But I think one of the things that we've learned as an admissions team over the past 6 or so months is that the sense of culture and the sense of place and the community of Darden can come through even in a virtual setting. I'm wondering how you've been thinking about that as you've planned the diversity conference.
Yeah, the value I think Darden brings comes in so many different ways. It comes through the academic experience. It comes through the career prospects and just the support we get from our career center. But like you said, our community is, I think, like the pillar that makes the experience, the like coming to grounds, connecting with alumni, students, faculty. It's one of a kind. And not to say we are replicating that by any means, but we are thinking of ways to have formal and informal connections, both with the faculty who are incredibly open. I've had many run-ins and really just open doors, even virtually, from my professors, just to say, how are you doing and what's going on and how can I help you and how can I be of help? So we're thinking of ways to connect students in very authentic ways that aren't just about what are you recruiting for and what's going on. We are meeting everyone where they are, but we are looking to develop deeper connections and to have honest conversations. So we have, I think, about 3/4 of the events styled in a way that are with our faculty, with our staff, and then the remaining like 1/4 events are small group gatherings, ask me anything sessions, and just giving an opportunity to meet us where we are, what we're doing. Everyone's doing something a little different than what we expected, and to be authentic with that was our primary goal.
So you're now in the second year of the program. When you look back on the first year, you had mentioned taking classes with which you had very little, if any, familiarity during that first semester of class. I'm curious, what were some of the learning curves or some of the things you had to adjust to as you began your year as a first year student at Darden?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think as a first year, you develop a level of grit that you may think you have, or you have some level of it, but that curve of just climbing in terms of managing your time, managing expectations, ensuring you're learning and not burning yourself out, I think comes with just a building of grit. In terms of where I think I struggled, I wanted to do everything in detail and I wanted to make sure that things were right. Coming from an engineering degree and an engineering background, there was right answers. And that came with a lot of challenge in terms of not being able to do everything, not being able to really get concepts that were brand new and bring them into parts of the discussion. But I think more than anything, and I'm still climbing this learning curve, you get better at asking questions. You get better at pulling on your teammates and your classmates. The first year experience is structured so that you're in sections, and out of every sections, there's one or two people who make up a learning team. And I had a phenomenal learning team who was willing to take the time to explain when we needed to explain, stop and slow down. I don't think there was a case that we didn't talk about, which really made the experience valuable, not only to being validated in some of the softer subjects like leading organizations and ethics, but also made it very validating when we assumed that like everyone knew a certain thing about marketing. And I was like, well, let's take a step back. What if we didn't know that? But yeah, I'm still learning a lot about how to ask questions and who to ask those questions to. Our whole class brings a variety of experience both through their industry, but also their lived experience. And the value of Darden is we get to really hear from everyone and utilize our talents. So no, it's been fun, but it's a lot of grit that you at a first year and even a second year develops during this time.
Sure. I mean, I think everybody knows that Darden is known for its rigor, right? You're going to be challenged academically, and I think challenged from a time standpoint is what I oftentimes will hear from folks when they come here on the podcast. They'll talk about all the things that they wanted to do and there just weren't enough hours in the day. And at some point you had to kind of accept like, this is good enough. I may not be able to do everything 100% all the time. I just need to be able to go to class and have a perspective and be able to contribute, and may not have everything perfectly worked out. I think your point about there being a right answer is a really interesting one. I always feel like that's got to be such an adjustment for folks. You come from this world where there's probably a right answer, at least in your prior educational experiences. And at Darden, you know, in the classes, it's not about the answer. It's about the process. You know, like, how did you get to the answer? Well, it might be about the answer in some instances, but by and large, what I hear from people is it's like, collectively sort of thinking, working towards that solution, that's ultimately where a lot of the emphasis is. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate with your experience? How did you adjust to that? Kind of getting comfortable with this sort of ambiguity?
Yeah, the phrase we used to use a lot at Danaher and Florida was don't let perfect get in the way of better. And coming to Darden, I felt like, yes, I can live that. I know that value, but there's a certain level of like, I'm here and I want to do really, really well, that I think really doing well at Darden doesn't necessarily mean having all the right answers. It is that learning process. It's being able to make mistakes, do it gracefully, admit when you don't know what you don't know, and be willing and ready to learn. And I think that comes with a lot of practice, but also a lot of just like forgiveness with yourself, especially if you are a perfectionist or you're very type A. And thankfully, when you get knocked down a little bit and you do have the wrong answers, you have support from people who are also learning and being very vulnerable in this process of extreme growth.
You're right that it's designed to be transformational. So you are going to change and grow over the course of your time at Darden. One of the questions we get from a lot of prospective students is around specialization and concentration. I'm wondering, as you picked classes for the second year, how did you think about what courses you wanted to take, what electives you wanted to schedule?
So I focused more on the faculty that I wanted to be with. I've heard so much about Jackie Doyle, Yael Grushka Kakyan, Laleen Anik is phenomenal. Tony Irving just joined us. And like, those are the women that I've looked at their research, been very excited about what they've taught, and I've heard amazing things. So I focused more on who was teaching rather than the concepts and the structured concentrations. But I just actually ran my concentration report, and I somehow am concentrating in business analytics and innovation for sustainability. So I think it works out in terms of whatever is interesting to you, whatever passion you want to pursue, whatever professors that are leading really interesting and insightful research, you align with some of the options and concentrations that seem to work out. So thankfully that worked out for me. I didn't have a clear concept coming in. I really wanted a general management perspective. And as I thought through the second year, I really looked to understand more about finance, more about economics, and more about strategy. So that's where a lot of my courses will be. And they'll be with amazing professors, which I'm really excited about.
Well, I appreciate all the points that you made, because I think those actually resonate with things that we share with prospective students, saying like, I think you'd be surprised, but a number of our students are just picking classes that are of interest to them, with faculty members they've always wanted to take a class from, or from whom they previously taken a class from, and they just want to, you know, be in the classroom with again. You know, it's not always driven by concentrating in something or specializing in something. I think that tends to happen more, to your point, is kind of like all these classes equal a concentration in this area. And oh gosh, well, that makes sense because I'm really interested in that topic. But I wasn't using that as my sort of guiding principle.
Exactly.
So, and probably not a total shocker if you think about general management school, the kind of people who come to Darden and the sort of case method, the way that that works, sort of all these opportunities for tangents and looking at how all this information fits together with finance case, but it might have many dimensions to it. So people are just naturally curious and probably passionate about learning, I would assume as well. So Miranda, you are also involved as a leader on the Darden Student Association, what's called the DSA. One of the truths of the second year experience here at Darden is that students get involved outside of the classroom, oftentimes have a leadership role or several leadership roles. What are you involved in addition to the DSA? Just curious.
The DSA takes a lot of my time, but I'm also a second year admissions committee member. So I help with interviews. Last year, I helped with the first year admissions committee where we put together fun events for accepted students. In my second year, I'm also helping with our career coaching. So both the admissions committee and career coaching are classes, but they're year-long classes where we interact with not only the current students and the current first years going through their interview search, finding their career outcomes and what they want to do with their lives, but I'm also working with potential or prospective students and hearing about their stories and answering their questions. So it's been really fun to do those in addition to my role as DSA. But I will say the DSA takes up a very, very substantial part of my time.
Which is understandable. I promise for those listeners who are waiting for us to talk about the DSA, we will get to it in just a moment. But I want to ask you what drew you to being both on the SAC and also to serving as a career coach. Why these activities?
Yeah. So the admissions committee was something I knew I wanted to get involved in as I was a prospective student, mostly because I was the first to graduate college in my family and the first to entertain the idea of a graduate school. So the process was very, very new. And I thankfully had enrolled in Forte MBA Launch, really appreciated the structures there. And as I mentioned, the alumni along the way who are honest and willing just to be helpful and give feedback, I thought was great. But when you're in the position of making choices for an MBA and where you want to go, it really matters on who's actually in the classroom, who is in the program, and how are the program structured. So being a part of the admissions committee, I think, helps with getting that insight and sense in a real-time manner. Like, if I'm not having a good week and someone asks me how I'm doing and what Darden is, I will be very upfront with them to say, like, yeah, this is a really challenging week. We have these assignments, valuations is completely over my head, but, you know, I'm doing this, and here's what I would consider as you think about classes and the way that you want to structure your MBA. So that was something that was really important to me. Additionally, just opening up the funnel to diverse candidates with similar or different experiences than myself, but that maybe traditionally wouldn't jump for an MBA as an option. And then for career coaching, I really had an amazing set of coaches, both informal and formal, within the second year class that guided me through just the questions of what do I want to do when I grow up to, you know, how am I bringing value to this transition that I think I can make? And they were so critical in my success and just reevaluating and evaluating what I wanted to get out of this experience, but also what I wanted to do as a future business leader. And I think as I've gone through this coaching process, I see how much work it is to be a coach and to continue to advocate for those and give help without telling people what to do. So it's been a great leadership opportunity in addition to serving some of the passions that I have.
So many good points there. As you might imagine, we get a number of questions from prospective students who are asking about career resources. And I can never tell if they think that we're punning by saying, you'd be surprised, but current students play a really active role in supporting each other, both, you know, classmate to classmate, peer to peer. So first year students supporting other first year students, but second year students play a really critical role in the job search, career exploration process, you know, career coaches, all the clubs and organizations as well. I always think that that's such a great example of the community at Darden and just how supportive people are. So we've had a few people on here who've been career coaches. Of course, Jeff Tang is on the Career Center team, and he was a second year coach when he was here at Darden. And it was fantastic to hear him talk about why he did that as a student and why he's come back now to join the career team. So it's to me, always emblematic of the culture of this place. So you are a vice president for diversity on the Darden Student Association. For people who are just learning a bit about the over 50 student organizations that we have, the DSA is, you know, the only student organization that's focused on all students or serving all students. Tell us a bit more about DSA.
Yeah, we are a group that compromises of so many different activities around what community experiences we have to how we interact with Charlottesville through outreach. We also are connected to UVA and the broader UVA through our honor reps and our university judiciary committee. But ultimately, we are here to advocate and enhance our student experience. The way that we actually have been framing it is around how every student can feel valued and loved within this experience while being supported and maintaining our career value proposition. There's quite a few initiatives we have in regards to diversity recruiting, advocating for systemic changes within Darden, within the broader UVA community, but ultimately we're focused on the Darden student experience and just making it the best we can with what we have.
No small plans for everybody to feel both value and loved. How did you arrive at this collectively as the DSA? How did you arrive at this agenda that this is what you wanted to focus your time on?
Yeah, I, as a first year, remember being pretty frustrated in certain classes and in certain conversations we were having in class. Either we weren't going deep enough, we were missing some of the points, especially around our differences in identity. And I was actually pulled on to the DSA Diversity Student Advisory Group, or DSAG, and asked to be a part of a team that was doing a climate survey. And seeing that the VP of Diversity at the time was running this initiative and making big asks from our dean, from our advisory board, and from our alumni that really wanted to improve Darden was something that drew me to such a passion to run for this. And then broadly within DSA, we've come to just realize what time we're in and how potentially lonely, fragmented. This is an experience that is affecting all of us in a different way. While we're still ripe with opportunity, we are looking to kind of change the narrative to make Darden more inclusive, thinking about sober options, thinking about how we incorporate partners in broader Charlottesville, understanding the history and context of UVA and how it's played a role in Charlottesville is incredibly important. So as we approach this, we ultimately wanted people to leave this experience knowing that they are valued by us, by each other, but also that as we go and make changes to think about how we want to make the future better, we also want to make our current situation the best we can, best we have. So that was something that drew me, and the group that is in the DSA, I think, is the most passionate group of individuals, most creative group. We have a Darden Cup event of a virtual escape room. So like we cannot get together in big groups, but we can still be very competitive and have a lot of fun. And it's the best group of people advocating for some really big and important issues.
The great thing about the University of Virginia from an extracurricular standpoint is that students really kind of own the space, right? So if you're the DSA leadership, you can come in and put your stamp on it. Like, this is what we want to focus on. And it sounds like y'all have brought a lot of energy to that, probably a lot of creativity right now, I'm guessing, too, because I mean, these are evolving things here on our grounds at the university, right? So it was groups of 15, smaller groups now of 5, doing more things virtually. It would probably continue to be a fluid situation with COVID being as it is. How are you sort of brainstorming? Where do these ideas come from? Or how do you think about, you know, sort of, we want to do something that's of interest to students. How do you figure that out?
I think it comes from the group as a whole, just being plugged into what is happening within our classmates. We're a very social bunch. We often talk and we often ask for differing opinions. And I think as we've gone through this experience, we've seen opportunities to replicate the interactions we've had, create lifelong connections. But we also see that there's just a new set of experiences that we're going through. So we have a lunch program where many students take advantage of a free lunch or a lunch stipend that comes within our financial aid. And going through that process, we're like, how can we think about like maybe putting a flyer in there, offering like a treat and having like a sticker that shows, you know, asynchronous learning. So we live it ourselves, and then we thankfully ask others like, okay, what would you think of this? And if we had to do some kind of interactive way of like connecting, like what do you think about Frisbee and like Frisbee golf? Like what would that look like? So we do a lot of reaching out. We talk to each other a ton, and we are honest with what situation we're in and thinking about safety as our primary goal.
And we've had the opportunity here on the podcast to talk about some of the creative ideas that students have come up with during quarter four. And as we've kind of got back into the swing of things here with the new academic year, we talked about the virtual Darden Cup, talked about a professor and a playlist, had some student organizations on just talking about the ways that they're looking to bring members together, even in a virtual context. So you have to really respect the fact that even in the midst of everything going on, Darden students are still finding ways to stay connected and be part of the community. When you think about your role, you've got, most of the school year ahead of you. Get to April, May, it's graduation. What do you hope to say you've accomplished over this year? And, you know, how would you judge if your time has been successful?
Yeah. I think from a very strategic lens, the way that we have conversations here is very, very core to the experience. We challenge each other on case facts. We think about different ways to strategize getting into a new market. But we still are very nice when it comes to how we approach difference. And I think as VP of diversity, what I would measure success is having courageous conversations and the willingness and ability to be wrong and to learn. And I think as I try to like put measurements around that doesn't really come to mind anything very easy. But I think it comes in a couple different forms. Not only what are we talking about in the classroom from a really like from a case perspective, like how many female protagonists are we seeing in senior level positions? How many internationally based cases are we really exploring? And are we talking about the nuance that comes with truly being a global program and a global leader? Additionally, we did a climate survey to measure inclusion and how others feel around metrics of inclusion at Darden. Some of the measures are things that we don't really talk about when it comes to lines of difference beyond race and sex, but like social class, ability, and a couple others, but just having these conversations around gender identity versus sexual orientation and what are the differences and how can we be respectful and curious while still being able to admit when we're wrong or admit that we might not know fully the nuance that comes with that. And then it's a tall task in the next 9 months. But as I think about just the impact that we've started to have with One Darden Week, thinking around the Global Business and Culture Club, really highlighting our global community and how we can connect there. I think we're well on our way to achieving some of those goals.
Well, what I heard in your earlier answer about how you got interested in the DSA is largely because of the role, the work that the previous VP for diversity had been doing. So it sounds like, you know, probably each year, each DSA leader tries to move their particular thing just a little bit forward or a lot forward. And then the next person kind of picks it up and continues that work. You're right that these are critical conversations always for business leaders, people who are going to go and we've had to go and lead teams and work with others. And I think the thing that's always been interesting to me is that there's space in the classroom to talk about this. People have to be willing to walk through that door, whatever metaphor you want to use. I mean, we had Laura Morgan Roberts here on the podcast talking about how she as a faculty member tries to make space, but there's another group of people. Right. There's the students. They, you know, that's a, you have to have people ready and willing to have that conversation. And it sounds like you're doing some of that work now and trying to get people to sort of think about these things and think about maybe intersectionality and all these different forms of identity that people have.
Yeah. And it does not all rest on me. I have amazing club leadership who's eager to collaborate, eager to come with ideas and honestly advocate on their own behalf and kind of include me as like a, hey, we're doing this at a student level, from an administrative level, how can we push this further? And really working together to not only kind of go off of my ideas, but go off of those who are leading these clubs and organizations.
So you mentioned something that might be new for some of our listeners. We talked about it before in past podcast episodes, but depending on when you picked up the thread with Experience Darden Podcast, you may not know about One Darden Week. What is One Darden Week?
Yeah, One Darden Week is a celebration and a level setting of just the diverse students, diverse experience we all bring into Darden. This year, we structured the week in the leadership inclusion continuum, where we talked about what does it mean to be unaware of identity and the intersectional identities that we all bring, all the way to when we are aware, how do we ensure that those who are going through different cultures are included, they aren't experiencing culture shock truly as an island. But then also when we know of the different identities we hold and the levels of difference, how are our experiences hidden? And we moved all the way into kind of what current systems are at play for leaders, how we as leaders are going to make changes in a world that is not necessarily set to enable everybody, and ultimately how can we continue to be advocates both on grounds as student leaders but within the greater Charlottesville community through voting. Our Business and Public Policy Club was a key partner, Darden Partners Association, all of our affinity clubs were part of this amazing week. And then we ended it with Global Business and Culture Club leading their virtual global food festival, where we had different dances, different groups like making different types of food, a competition that was also trivia. It was a lot of different really exciting things. And we got to talk about a lot of different cultures that we see here at Darden. So more of a celebration than anything, but we had some real and intense conversations about just the world as we see it and the need to have leaders be a part of conversations around lines of difference.
And I want to acknowledge that the Global Food Festival is like one of the, I think most beloved activities that happens every fall. And I think I was thinking as the weeks were approaching, how's this going to happen? How's it going to work virtually? This is like typically out, you know, in the courtyard at Darden, people everywhere, tables out, food everywhere, crowds and crowds of people, you know, basically what it's very hard to do right now. And yet there was a way. Students found a way. That sounds like it was completely successful.
Yes. And the talent show part of the day or part of the activity had videos of people in masks, like over 5 feet away from each other, dancing and just celebrating a really, really fun new dance that I think multiple people in their class learned. So it was really exciting to have both like this like live stream media and pre-recorded content of similar performances that we would have seen.
So we've got, as you mentioned, 9 months to go. We're recording this in late September. I'm curious about what's on your calendar. What are you looking forward to in the coming months, Miranda?
So yeah, this is, I think, one of the hardest questions because there's so much to look forward to. There's a lot of uncertainty, but I think what I'm most looking forward to is my Q2 classes. I have 3 of 4 professors that are women and are leading just amazing conversations around project management, ambicultural strategy, getting in the room and how to actually make change when you're in a decision maker seat. So really exciting content. And for the first time ever in my life, I've had more than 3 female professors in one period of time. As an engineer, I don't think that has ever happened. I maybe was lucky to have 1. So I'm really excited to continue learning and continue learning with this amazing faculty.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Like you have a very exciting Q2 lined up. I'm curious, as we wrap up here, it's been such a pleasure having this time with you. And I know it's a really crazy week with the diversity conference on the horizon. I've been working with my admissions colleagues who are getting geared up for that. And they've been going, 100 miles a minute and just so much excitement around, having this year's conference, as there always is. But I'm curious if you have any last words of advice for our prospective student listeners, anything you would highlight for them.
Yeah. In any conversation you have with an MBA, either currently in a program or an alumni, ask the questions you really want to get answered. The Darden MBAs who helped me get here were honest and frank with the concerns that I had. And coming in, I had a very clear idea of what this experience was. And I think it does everyone justice to be as honest and vulnerable as possible. Additionally, in the diversity conference and any kind of virtual conference that is happening, get to know the people who are also attending. Some of my favorite moments were sitting and talking with someone about the kinds of careers that they had and what they were looking forward to. And the woman who I sat next to during the diversity conference is actually now my neighbor. She was in my section. She was my gender equity rep, and truly, I think, a lifelong friend. So more than anything, if you're not excited about what's going on, at least you can have connections with people who are similarly minded and potentially lifelong friends.
Embrace the journey, right? To get to know as many people as you can. It's one of the great things about applying to business school. You meet current students, alums, faculty, staff, all these people, and you begin to develop your network. But more importantly than that, maybe just make a few friends along the way. And so I appreciate that advice, Miranda. It certainly resonates with what we share with prospective students, that one of the great things about being on the admissions committee here at Darden is we have all of these people who are really eager to share their experience with our prospective students. And that is both, folks here on grounds in Charlottesville, but also, alumni out there in the world, happy to take a few minutes to talk about Darden always. So thank you for your time today. It's been such a pleasure, and best of luck with Diversity Conference this weekend.
Thank you so much, Brett. It's been such an exciting opportunity to talk.
And that was my interview with Miranda Guerrero, a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.